Thanks for hanging out. This is the first YouTube Live of the year. Welcome. Answering questions for entrepreneurs. We've got a goal this year to help 100 entrepreneurs start, grow, or fix their business. And as part of doing that, I, Dylan Gallagher, am answering questions that come to me on Quora. So from time to time, I jump on Quora and I answer a bunch of questions about entrepreneurs, and I've now decided to go live on YouTube when I answer those questions, because I think there's probably some folks out there that would find this interesting. And then of course gives us the opportunity to produce a little bit more content after the fact, because we can cut up these questions and use it for folks. So let's get started. I'm really excited. All right, so let's just take a look here. There's two questions I'm going to get to right away. So let's see here. What steps do I take to start a business? And sometimes I have to laugh, because on Quora, I don't know how many of you out there actually use Quora, but it's funny because you get all sorts of different people asking questions that, like, I'm sure I'm not the only person to have ever answered this question. What steps do I take to start a business? There's no way. But here's what I would say after having been out and about as long as I have over the last couple of decades, being an entrepreneur myself and working with entrepreneurs, here's what I'd say. What steps do I take to start a business? Well, the first step to take is to figure out what the heck is it that you want to do. And I get lots of people that I've met that have started businesses that, you know, they didn't really have like a grand master plan when they started the business. They really just kind of went along and started it. They, sorry about that. Just had a little message pop up. They started with a passion. So for example, someone will say, well, I didn't really have any grand plans of starting a business. I just knew I wanted to because I'm really good at it, or I have this skill. I'm really good at cutting grass. I'm really good at doing people's books. I'm really good at developing social media for people. So the first thing to do is to take stock of what it is that you're really good at. Where is it that you can add value to the community and more philosophically to the world around you? Said a different way, if you didn't deliver your value to the world, what would the world be missing out on? And so sometimes that's a little too airy-fairy for people. They just want to say, look, I just want to get into business. So one of the first things I did when I got into business is I had started my mortgage brokerage because I had been working as a broker for a couple of years, but I also worked in the construction business. So some of you who are watching this will know this story for sure, but for about a year, my best friend and I worked on an eaves trough truck. Now, an eaves trough is the gutters that go around the roof line of your house to collect the rain and the snow and put it through a downspout. And so what would happen is I wanted to start my business because I knew ultimately that I was not going to be employable by someone. I needed to be employed by myself. And so my friend said, well, I want to be in the construction business and I want to start my own business. I want to be a contractor. I want to do some really cool things in the construction world. So the two of us went out together and we decided to hang eaves trough. And it was middle winter when we decided to do that. And the weather was, you know, minus 20 degrees Celsius. And I remember a couple things. I remember that most days when we began, we would spend more money on propane to keep our vehicle, our truck running, than we made in cash that whole day. Forget profit, just cash alone. I also remember that as I was taking mortgage applications over the phone, believe it or not, this was before people were filling out applications online, my friend, we would have this big noisy trough machine sitting in the back of the truck. And so I'd be on the phone trying to write down on a clipboard, first name, last name, what's your social insurance number, where do you live, how long have you been there? And he would run the machine. Now, to this day, he's never admitted that he ran it to throw me off my game when I was with customers, because I'd have to make up an excuse. Why is it so noisy in the background? Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, my buddy's sitting there running this machine. So so when you start a business, there's not always a grand plan, but there is usually a reason for doing it. And so the steps that you take are to say, okay, obviously I got to make some money doing this, or I have to provide for my bills. How am I going to do that? Even if my business doesn't look perfect today, how do I begin doing that? And so some of you might be familiar with a side hustle. you know, I've got a full-time job during the day and I do this on the side. It's now become easier to do it. You know, for example, being a real estate agent or an insurance agent or an investment rep. Those are the sorts of jobs that you can do in the evening because most times that's when you're dealing with the public. But to begin with, you got to figure out what is it that you ultimately want to do and then work backwards to today to say, what steps do I need to take to do that? Well, I got to start figuring out what value I'm bringing to the world. What is the job task? What is the product or the service that I want to bring to the marketplace? And then the truth is you just got to get out there and do it. And what I found is the first step you should take after you've kind of answered some of those questions is to just get out and start talking to people and start networking. So if you're going to be in the construction business, get out and start networking with a bunch of trades. If you're going to be in the professional services business, an accountant or a bookkeeper, or you're going to be, you know, an investment rep or an insurance rep, just get out and start talking to people. Because what's interesting that I've learned is that not everything fits on a spreadsheet. And a lot of times people will say, come up with a business plan, come up with a marketing plan, do your cash flow forecast. But the truth is, business doesn't really work like that. I'm telling you. It just doesn't work like that. I'm laughing because of some of the examples I could give right now, but I've already made this answer very, very long. So what steps do you need to take a business? Not everything fits in a spreadsheet. Not everything can be planned. At some point, you just got to go. And as you go, you start building the business as it begins to get some traction. So figure out what it is you want to do. Is it something you can afford to do now because you've got money in the bank and you can run with it? Or is it something that you're going to need to do on the side until it's producing enough of a result that you can pursue it full time? So that's really the first step the real step that you end up taking after you do some of the thinking. But once you've done that, then you got to get out there and you got to sell. And you know that famous line that sales cures all is really true. As long as you can sell, the other stuff typically falls into place. I argue that no business was ever really successful because they had a great accountant, or because they had a great lawyer, or because they had a great admin assistant. I mean, certainly those things all contribute, but ultimately what makes a business really great is they were able to sell value. They were able to sell a product or a service to somebody. There's a question that typically comes on the back of this, which is, well, how do I start a business if I don't have any money? And I have answered that question before, so make sure that you check it out. But in this particular case, figure out the value that you're going to bring to the world or to the community. Then figure out, is it something you can afford to do full-time because you have the financial resources to do it, or is it something that you're going to have to do on the side after hours in addition to your day job, and you're just going to have to do that until the business starts to take flight. So those are the steps that you take, in my opinion, to start a business. So let's get on to the next question. Still thinking about those days when I was taking mortgage applications. I'm telling you, man, like, you know, pens don't always work when the weather's really, really cold. And in those first couple of months of starting my broker's business, hanging eaves trough, I mean, man, that was tough. Okay, let's get on to the next one. Under what circumstances would it be appropriate to turn down business from an existing or potential client? I think this is a great question. This is a really great question because even I, 20 years later, have had to figure out how to answer this question because I'm not sure there's like a perfect answer to it. So obviously what you're going to hear is, you know, if a client is costing you more than you're making, or if a client is stands to ruin the image of your business or tarnish the brand that you've worked so hard to build, obviously you got to turn down that business. You got to turn it away. It's this whole idea of short game versus long game. Are you going to just work with that customer to earn that money today, but over the long term you're going to pay for it? Or is it easier to turn that customer away today and preserve your business, your brand, your reputation, your image, your profit margin, etc., and collect more customers down the road? And this is a bit of an art, actually, from what I've discovered. I know lots of different businesses that do, you know, products and services, and in some businesses, like where you don't really interact with the customer, then this question really isn't relevant. This question typically comes from businesses where you are dealing with a customer. You have a customer right in front of you. And, you know, there's this analogy that says the interaction you have with a customer is never going to be as good as it is the first time that you meet them. And I kind of explain it more like dating. You know, when you first meet someone new, you think the whole thing is exciting. The interaction is exciting, the engagement is exciting, going out for your first date is exciting, but what happens with every time that you meet is it's never as exciting and it's never as interesting and it's never as captivating as that first moment. And so it's the same thing with customers. If you deliver a product or service to the marketplace and you have to interact with a customer fairly frequently to see that product or service to its end, to be able to actually get a check from them, then you build a bit of a relationship. But that relationship will never be as strong as it is when you meet them for the very, very first time. And so when you come across a situation where a customer is causing you some grief, a customer is now making your life difficult or miserable, my opinion is that you can never turn away a bad customer quickly enough. Because again, to kind of borrow another old saying, that your first loss is your best loss. If you try to, some customers, you'll just never make them happy. Ever, ever, ever. No matter what you do, you simply will not make them happy. And so for every moment or for every second that you're spending on them, you could be spending those moments and those seconds on customers that you can make happy, that will attribute to your reputation and your brand and your integrity. But some customers, you know, you just gotta let them go. And there's no easy way to do it. They're just, honestly, there's no simple way to say, get lost, I don't want to work with you, really difficult. Now, most times we don't actually say those words to a customer, but in our minds, we're certainly thinking it. You know, for years as a mortgage broker, man, I mean, you want to talk about a business where, you know, bird in hand versus two in the bush. You know, you'd be working with a customer, you think everything's going great, and then, you know, at the 11th hour, they'd come to you and they'd say, you know, I can save 0.0000001% on my interest rate if I walk across the street and use your competitor. What are you gonna do about that? Well, all of a sudden, the value that you thought you were creating with the customer is gone. It's now transactional. And because it's transactional, you're gonna have to give something up to try and win that customer. And if you're gonna compete on price, chances are you're probably not gonna make the margin or the profit that you wanted. And so under what circumstances would it be appropriate to turn down business from an existing or a potential client if you're not going to be profitable? There's an exception to that. I'll come back to it. So if you're not going to be profitable, if they stand to ruin your brand, your integrity, or your image, then you got to turn them away. Now, relative to them not being profitable, you might be saying, but Dylan, you know, that's not very charitable. That, you know, that's not really helping people. Well, sometimes you just have to be able to recognize that you're not going to be profitable. And if you're going to help that customer and not be profitable, that's on you, and you got to own that. You got to be prepared to say, okay, I'm going to help this customer, but we're not going to make any money on them because I'm too chicken to turn them away, or I don't really have a good reason to turn them away. But most times it's not going to work. You can't run a business on customers that you're not going to be profitable on. It doesn't matter. Even if you're Amazon, at some point you have to be profitable in order to keep the lights on and keep servicing the business. So if you got a customer that's not, you're not going to be profitable on, if you have other opportunities that you're pursuing, then you know, that's a chance to turn away an existing client or potential client, because you can't service everybody, and not everybody wants to be serviced. Some people will take advantage of your product or your service without really caring about your brand or your integrity or your image. They just want whatever it is you're giving them. And some customers you can just never please. They just, nothing you say, nothing you can do will help them out. So you've got to be smart enough to know, if I'm not going to be profitable, if I stand to have some brand equity or my integrity eroded, then this is a customer I'm going to have to turn away. So hopefully you found that helpful. Let's take a look here at some others that might be interesting. Here's one. How good or bad is it to start a business with a loan? You know, this is tricky, tricky, tricky. I know that, you know, there's some schools of thought out there, like Mark Cuban, for example, would say you're an idiot to start a business with a loan. I think there's probably qualifiers to that. I mean, I've never talked to Mark Cuban. I don't know his whole answer. But my answer is, starting a business with a loan means that you are, the loan itself is basically the future profit that you're going to take into today. So if you've got a business and you've got customers lined up, let's say you're in the, I'll just use the landscaping analogy. Let's say that you've gone around your community and you've locked up 50 clients that have said to you they're going to pay you a bunch of money per month, and you already got that commitment. You went out and pre-sold your service. or let's say that you've got the opportunity to, you can take a bunch of orders for a new for a product that you hope to sell, a widget. So in the event that you already know where the revenue is coming from, but you need money today to be able to deliver on that. So for example, you gotta go buy some lawnmowers, you gotta go and maybe hire some staff. You gotta pre-purchase a bunch of inventory in the widget example. Well, in that case, taking on a loan really is just facilitating the opportunity for you to earn some revenue. Where taking a loan to start a business doesn't make any sense is when you haven't identified any customers. No one has agreed to pay you yet. It's a hope and a dream that you're gonna earn some money for providing a product or service to the marketplace. Then taking on a loan is highly risky and will prevent you from making really smart business decisions. And this is why. When you first get the loan, that's pretty simple. You got a bunch of money in the bank and you're feeling pretty good and you're very optimistic. And so off you go and you do your thing. It's not until you start getting down to the bottom of the loan proceeds where you've spent the money, it's only a little bit left, and you don't have a line of sight to how you're A, gonna repay the loan, but B, you probably leveraged some of your personal net worth in order to do it. And so now that creates a massive, massive pressure point. And so if you don't know and you haven't secured your sales and your revenue, taking a loan to start a business certainly is not a smart move. Completely dumb, doesn't make any sense. But if you've secured your revenue, you know where your sales are coming from, then getting a loan just simply helps you to facilitate that revenue, you pay back the loan and off you go. It's interesting that this question doesn't just relate to startups. This question could say, how good or bad is it to get a loan for my business? Because it's no different. If you're running a business and you do have customers and you do have revenue, and you simply go to get a loan because you think you need some working capital, you can't really articulate what you're gonna use it for, or if you know what you're gonna use it for, but you can't really figure out specifically how you're gonna pay it back, then you shouldn't be taking the loan. Money, in and of itself, isn't evil or bad. It's simply what it gets used for, that money kind of gets this negative association. And so entrepreneurs who take a loan for their business, whether they're a startup or an existing business, have to know what they're doing with that money. They gotta know how they're gonna pay it back specifically, and not on a hope and a dream. Like, it has to be identifiable. Remember the lawnmower example. If you went out to your community and you got 50 contracts, signed, everyone said, yep, show up Wednesday, start cutting my grass. The loan simply facilitates your ability to earn that revenue, and you know how you're gonna pay it back. Or in the event where you've pre-sold a bunch of a widget, a really unique widget that you can buy at $1, sell for $2. You just need the money to buy it for $1, but you've got all the customers lined up who are purchasing it for $2. Well, then a loan just facilitates that revenue. But the mistake that entrepreneurs make, myself included, I've done this with almost $500,000. In fact, just taking a little side note here, I ended up borrowing money to renovate a retail space that we put our brokerage into. I had no clue how much it was gonna cost because I had a business partner who I trusted, who I said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and do it? He knew construction, etc. I'm not blaming him, it's on me. It was my decision to borrow that money. But I borrowed it and I didn't even sit down to figure out how I was gonna pay it back. I mean, completely moronic. And that led to a whole bunch of other stressful, awkward, annoying situations. And had I sat down, had I run the math, had I said, okay, if I borrow money to fix up this retail location, we're not talking a little bit of money, it was like more than $50,000. It was a lot of money to do this. How am I gonna pay it back? Like, does our revenue support it? Is there something that this retail space is going to allow me to do that I could actually make more money off of to pay that back? And the truth is, the answers to all that would have been yes had I sat down and actually figured it out. But I didn't. On a hope and a dream and a prayer and being incredibly naive, I just went ahead and borrowed the money. Well, it took forever to pay it back, and I should have never taken it in the first place. And so, is it good or bad to start a business with a loan? The truth is, if you know and have secured where your revenue is coming from, or the probability of that revenue is really, really high, then a loan just facilitates the result and off you go. If you haven't identified your revenue, you don't know how you're gonna pay it back, then either go back to the drawing board or do not borrow the money in the first place. All right. I'll make this maybe the last question for this live broadcast. How do I know whether my company is growing or not? Man, this is such a good question. So, shameless plug, the Emily Now platform that I founded, that we're marketing this year, that we're trying to help 100 entrepreneurs with, is really meant to answer this specific question. It's amazing how many entrepreneurs will... Well, let me answer this a different way. I met an entrepreneur a couple weeks ago. They do about, kind of $3 million gross revenue a year. They're in the service business. So they have a shop and they service equipment and things that, kind of require, really their business model is all about shop time plus the products or services that they use, and then they mark it up and sell it to a customer. And then a customer pays for their time plus materials. So this particular entrepreneur, run his business for a bunch of years, about $3 million gross revenue. And he says to me, "Man, we're growing and things are great." And I said, "Oh, well, tell me how you're growing. How do you, what does that look like? Oh man, we could use like 8 more people." So, I took out my pen and I hadn't seen his financial statements, but we were having a conversation because, he's looking to do some things with his business. And so we were introduced to each other and yada, yada. So he says to me, "Well, business is really good. We did, $3 million. I said, "Great. Well, how much is left? Like at the end of the day, what's your bottom line?" He says, "Oh, I don't know." He's doing the math and he says, "Well, last month we did this and this." He says, "I don't know, maybe like, maybe $150,000. I said, "For $3 million worth of revenue, you keep $150,000? He says, "Well, yeah." And I pay myself, a couple hundred thousand a year. And I said, "Wow." I said, "First of all, a small business has to figure out how to at least leave 15% net on their bottom line. And so for a $3 million business, at a minimum, there should be $300,000 on the bottom line. In fact, there should be $450,000 on the bottom line, not 150, but that's a perfect world." So all of a sudden he's a little bit annoyed because I said to him, "Well, here's how the math works. If your margin is going to be less than 10%, and I'll just keep the math really simple. I said, if the math is going to be less than 10%, then here's some challenges you're probably having in your business right now. I said, do all of your customers pay you on time or on terms?" And he says, "Well, some of them pay us on time. Like, they pick up their vehicle today. We have other fleet work that we do and they pay us on 30, 60, 90 days. And I said, "Okay, so here's what happens. If your business is making less than 10%, when you factor everything in, what's the longest time it's taken for someone to pay you?" He says, "Well, like 90 days, some push a little." I said, "How much of your revenue does that particular customer represent?" He said, "Well, I don't know, like 20% of my revenue." I said, "Well, every time payroll comes up, in the months that you run 3 payrolls, I said, does that cause a little bit of stress and anxiety?" He says, well, yeah. I said, "Well, that's because you don't have enough cash in the bank from the business you're doing now to properly float your business. So you might be measuring your $3 million up from $2 million the year before, up from $1 million the year before that, and think that you're growing. But the truth is, the top line doesn't mean everything. It's good to see that the top line is growing, but if the bottom line isn't growing, if you haven't hit that point of inflection where for every dollar you earn, you don't have the same proportionate costs, that's where you got to focus on first. So tell you what, why don't we sit down and figure out how to get you $450,000 out of $3 million worth of revenue instead of figuring out how to add 8 more people to your team to maybe double up your revenue, but your net profit isn't going to double up. It's not linear like that. So the question of how do you know if you're growing your business, certainly your top line, your gross revenue is one way of measuring it, but ultimately the reason entrepreneurs financially are doing what they're doing is to build value, is to have something valuable at the end of their career or at the end of their time spent in their business. And so you're measuring that by your net income. You're measuring that by how many assets does your business own that are either paid for or are being leveraged to produce a really strong profit margin. So in this particular case, as soon as he heard me say that, all of a sudden it started to make sense. More than half of our revenue comes from customers that don't pay us immediately on a 10% net margin business that doesn't really leave us a ton of cash in the bank. Some months do get really tight, like when we run three payrolls or if we have an unexpected expense come up on our equipment. So you're right. So how do you know if your company's growing? Well, is your bottom line growing or shrinking? If you took all of your revenue, less all of your expenses, and you just saw what was left over at the end of the day, is that number growing or is it shrinking? And that's one of the telltale signs. Also, looking at your balance sheet, and this is a little bit technical and maybe a little bit abstract, but you can look at that line called shareholder equity or retained earnings, and you can measure it from year to year, and you can say, is that number growing? Are our assets growing? Are our liabilities shrinking? And is our shareholder equity growing? So, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that. I think when you're a really large organization, you've got lots of smart people around you to help you understand whether or not your company is growing. But when you're small, you may be misled into thinking your company is growing because you've got lots of sales coming in. Your sales are exploding. But because you don't really know what the effect is on your bottom line, don't really know if you're growing or not. And this is like classic. And again, I fall into this situation. You think that just because you're busy, just because you've got revenue, that all of a sudden you don't have enough people. So you hire another admin person or an office person, or you hire a salesperson and you give them a salary. And you just think somewhere it's gonna come out in the wash. And it's not until the end of the year or until a period of time has gone by that the impact of that knee-jerk cost that you just incurred by hiring that new person or purchasing that new thing, it comes out in the wash and you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Our sales grew, but our profit is shrinking. Why is that? Well, it's because as you took on those additional expenses, you didn't plan for them financially. You didn't really know if they were actually going to help add to your bottom line or take away. And so, again, a lot of these things just require a little bit of thought. That's what we're trying to do this year. We're trying to help 100 entrepreneurs start, grow, fix their business, ultimately help them build something really, really valuable, or get them down the path of doing that. And being able to answer this question, how do I know whether my company is growing or not, is an important question to ask, but the answer doesn't necessarily come from our sales are growing. You want to know that your profit margin is growing. It's better to do $3 million at a 15% margin than it is to do $6 million at a 5% margin. Because when you've got a greater margin, you've got lots of room to weather the storm that may be coming in the economy, in your particular marketplace, with your product or your service, versus a business that is running at, say, a 5% margin. To me, that's just a make work exercise. As an entrepreneur, you're not making nearly enough money. I don't care what your gross revenue is. With a 5% net margin, you're not nearly making enough money to compensate you properly for all of the pain, effort, and stress that you need to bear in order to run that business. And more importantly than that, when you get to a destination and you're looking to sell your business, that 5% is not really that attractive to an investor or to a third party who would want to acquire your business. Because they're going to have a learning curve that they need to go on, and their learning curve inevitably will eat up some of that margin. So there's not really a lot of room for them. So the truth is, build a profitable business, know your math, understand. You know, the first thing that this particular guy said to me a couple weeks ago, he says, well, it's impossible. There's no possible way we can get a 15% margin in our business. And as we started talking through just some very small suggestions, all of a sudden he went, holy crap. We could get 15% bottom. I mean, we could do 15%. That could really, and all of a sudden he was super excited. He was so excited, in fact, that he called me the very next day and he said, holy crap, if you could help us understand specifically how to get to 15% net margins, he says, that would change our life. He says, that would change my life as the entrepreneur. He says, that would change the culture of our company because we would know that we're not always acting under pressure. So let's get started. So that's it. That's all I've got today. Couple questions there. Hopefully you found it valuable. We're going to try to do this every single week. And if you've got questions, post them on Quora. I'll put the links and stuff inside the comments so that you know where to post it and how to see the answers after the fact. And just want to say thanks for hanging out. So we will see you on the next YouTube Live.